in these three messages that I'm bringing you on, Do You Really Know the Gospel? We are learning what constitutes the gospel message as Jesus preached, as recorded in Mark 1, 14 and 15. We have seen that the gospel Jesus preached demanded two things: repentance of our sins and faith in Jesus as the only way of salvation. I concluded in the last broadcast, making the point that the law of God has an important place in the gospel message. I emphasized in the last message that God is sovereign over all men, that God is holy, that God views us as sinners and is angry with us because we are sinners. So where does this involve the law of God? Well, we need to define sin, or should I say, let's see how God defines sin in His inerrant word, the Bible. What is sin? Well, we're not left guessing, because 1 John 3:4 clearly states, quote, "Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." There we have it. Sin is lawlessness. When God gave His law in the Old Testament, as summarized in the Ten Commandments, God was revealing to mankind who the true and the living God is. God's holiness is seen in terms of His moral law, as summarized in the Ten Commandments. Hence, any ungodliness is that which transgresses the law of God, for the law reflects the character or the nature of God. The Apostle Paul states it that through the law he comes to understand that he is condemned before a holy God. Romans 3, 19 and 20 states, quote, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be closed, and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin." Paul also says in Romans 7, 7, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.'" To understand, then, so far what the Bible is saying, sin is the transgression of the law of God, and the law is the means that God uses to convict us that we are sinners, deserving to go to hell because we are lawbreakers. In the book of Ezekiel, we are told a biblical truth that the soul that sins must die. It's not just a physical death, but an eternal death. All mankind has sinned in the head of the human race, Adam, and we have inherited a sinful nature from our first parents, so that we are conceived in sin, as Psalm 51:5 says. Some want to tell us that children are not really accountable for their sins until they're conscious of it, such as the age of 11 or 12. My friends, this is not biblical teaching. Some have asked me, "Preacher, do you believe in the age of accountability?" And I say, "Well, yes, I do. It's called conception." No one is innocent. As Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In fact, are you aware that there is a curse upon everyone who does not obey God's law perfectly? Now, you may be thinking, what? No one keeps God's law perfectly. Well, my friend, that's the point the Bible makes. Galatians 3:10, in quoting from the Old Testament passage in Deuteronomy 27:26, says, "For as many are as of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them.'" My friends, the demands of God upon us are incredible. God expects, in fact, God demands that we be perfect with respect to obedience to His law. This is why we need a Savior, because we are cursed for not obeying perfectly. What do we mean by perfect obedience? Well, I use this as an example. If you take a test, and you're a student, of 100 questions, and you miss only one question, you've made a 99, which in every school I know is an A+. You may pat yourself on the back and say, yeah, I only missed 1 out of 100. In fact, I got the highest grade in the school with my 99. Now, this is an example of a scale that humans use, but humans are not our judge on Judgment Day. The real issue is, how does God grade? James 2:10 informs us, for what whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. Well, there you have it. The soul that sins dies. Sin is defined by the law of God. And stumbling in only one point causes us to be guilty of transgression of the entirety of God's law, in essence. Hence, we must go to hell. James 2:10 teaches the same biblical truth as does Galatians 3:10, namely that cursed is he who abides not by all things in the law to perform them. All mankind, therefore, is a debtor to God's law and stands condemned by God's standard and not man's standard. I've had people say to me, look, I try hard to obey God's law. I'm not perfect. Nobody is perfect. But I sure am better than so-and-so down the street. I say to these people, look, you may not be as blatant a sinner in some ways as your neighbor, but your neighbor is not going to be your judge on Judgment Day. You need to know how God is going to judge you. And we have seen that He demands perfection every moment of your life. Well, some may reply to me, well, I don't believe that. I then say to them, I have shown you in God's Word the way it really is. What you believe doesn't matter. What really matters is what God says. There were people in the great city of Athens in the ancient world who refused to believe the message that Paul preached of a resurrected Jesus. But then inspired Paul said, as recorded in Acts 17:31, it says in that verse, quote, He, meaning God, has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom He has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Because we stand condemned by the law, we are totally, unequivocally helpless in ourselves to do that which God requires of us. Every man, woman, and child needs to understand that we emphatically cannot save ourselves. As Romans 3:10 and 12 says, quote, There is none righteous, no, not even one. There is none who does good, not even one. So, with reference to the gospel, what is the purpose of the law of God? Galatians 3:22 to 24 says, quote, But the Scripture has shut up all men under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. Now, we must understand that the law and the gospel are not the same. We are not saved by our obedience to the law of God. But in saying that, we're not saved apart from an obedience to the law, namely by the work of a Savior who does keep the law perfectly, who does pay the penalty for our transgression that we should have borne. The law of God, indeed, is a tutor to drive us to Christ. The law does flawlessly reflect God's holiness. The law does condemn us as sinners. The law does drive us to the point of saying, Oh, wretched man that I am, what hope is there for me? The law drives us to the one who can do it all for us, what we cannot do for ourselves. And this is where grace and mercy shine. God graciously and mercifully provides a Savior to be our representative so that we can stand before a holy God without any flaw whatsoever. But this gift requires faith in Jesus Christ only. In my next and concluding message, I will talk about how the gospel is truly a message all about Jesus, all about His law keeping on our behalf, all about His suffering a terrible death to pay for our transgression. Until then, this is Pastor John Otis of Covenant Reformed Presbyterian Church saying, keep studying that Word of God diligently.